We can get started. Awesome. All right, let's talk about this is a really fun topic. We're going to talk about bots. And some of you probably know what a bot is already. There's others that are going to discover what it is today. Let me ask you a question. First of all, who here is an ASP.NET developer? Okay, lots of you. Cool. Congratulations. You're all bot developers now. You pretty much already have a lot of the know-how on how to build a bot. Do I have Node.js developers in the room? A few? Yeah, you too. You're all in. Anyways, as long as you're a .NET developer, a Node.js developer, it's actually very easy to get started with this. So today I want to talk to you about a new trend in the industry in creating a new form of app. And the bottom line is, for generations, literally, and IT generations are short, for generations we've been asking humans to adapt their way of doing things to interact with software. Right? We've been writing this software that runs on PCs, that runs in the browser, that runs directly on phones even. But it's always about the user interface. You have to be trained on how to use it properly. On phones, the app is expected to be so intuitive that you don't need any training to use it. But the bottom line is, the way you talk to software is not the same way that you interact with other people. So how do you talk to other people today? How do you interact with other human beings today? Guys, you should know. I know we're all developers. We're all shy introverts. We don't talk to other people. But you should have an idea on how to interact with other people. How do you interact with other people today? Speaking. You talk to them. OK, that's one thing. What else?
Texting.
Texting is another one. OK, how else?
Calling.
Messenger. Email, yeah, we get a lot of those, right? Anyway, the bottom line is we have all these channels to interact with other human beings, but yet when we talk to software, to apps, we're using different channels. We're using these apps, and they're not the same thing. What if you could interact with software the same way that you interact with human beings? And what if you could also interact with human beings and the software as part of the same conversation? So that's why we're saying that bots are essentially the new apps. It's a new form of interaction for software to communicate with with humans, and it's another way to get access to your data, to get access to information, to do queries, to upload things and such. Does that mean that every single piece of software out there is going to be replaced by a bot? No. It's not, because there's a lot of things that are very intuitive to just launch a weather app sometimes and just look at the whole forecast for the week. But at the same time, I don't know about you, but every morning, it's kind of funny, every morning my wife asks me, "Hey, what's the weather today?" And then I just turn and I say, "Alexa, what's the weather today?" She could ask directly, but she likes to ask me. So. And then Alexa tells me, because I have an Echo in my bedroom. You can have Cortana, you can have Siri, there's the Google Assistant, they all do these things. And the bottom line is, it's so easy to just turn around, and I can actually get the answer while I'm still getting ready and getting dressed. Whereas I could have taken out my phone, launched the weather app, look at the forecast, wait for it to find my location, and then pull the data from the internet, and then tell me about the weather. Or I can just ask, essentially, what is nothing more than a bot. It's a bot with a voice interface, but it's a bot. You can actually build those bots yourself. So my name is Nick Landry, and I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft. And today I want to teach you why you should care about bots and how you can build them. So who saw some of the bot demos in the general session yesterday? OK, cool. So I'm not here to repeat what they did. I'm here to actually show you how it's done and how to get started with them and how you can actually go and build those bots yourself. This whole thing is basically what we call conversations as a platform. Conversations have become the new platform where, at the heart, we're going to find that we have people, we have digital assistants, and we have the bots. So people, of course, are us. And then the bots are essentially the apps. The digital assistants are going to be, you know, Alexa, Cortana, Google Assistant, Siri. They're basically kind of like the meta apps. the apps that are there to help us find those other apps, find those other bots. So the best way to describe it is, if you have an assistant, I don't, I wish I had an assistant, but I got Cortana. But if you have an assistant, let's say you're a manager, you're super busy, you got your executive assistant, and you say, I want a sandwich for lunch, and I like to have a good meatball sub for lunch. Now, a very overzealous assistant would then run to the grocery store and buy a whole bunch of ingredients and then go to the kitchenette at the office and start making you a sandwich, the sandwich that you want. Not exactly the way that it should be done. A really good assistant would know exactly what kind of sandwich you like and where to get it and then place an order with that place and maybe go pick it up or have it delivered. So the assistant doesn't have to know how to do everything. They just have to know where to go to find the other experts. So the assistants are there to assist you in your regular life on your computer. The bots are the experts. So they are the expert at weather information and the expert at ordering food or the expert about your bank account and all of these different things. That's what apps are. They're basically experts. And by giving them a little bit of a personality and making sure that we can interact with them the same way we talk to a human, then those bots can become very useful very fast. So when we talk about conversations as a platform, then what it means is human language is now becoming the new UI. And it's great because we learned this language a long time ago, and we're pretty good at using it. Now, sometimes long flowing sentences are not very intuitive to type, so that's why maybe we're just gonna talk to our bots. Or maybe we're still gonna use some elements of UI as well. So as I said, the bots are the new apps, the digital assistants are the meta apps, and the idea is to put some intelligence across all of these interactions so that they can have intelligence about perceiving what you want, intelligence about what the bots can do themselves, and how to enhance those bots to make sure that they're not just, like, very dumb, you know? So let's say that you go to a restaurant bot, and you say, hey, I would like to place a reservation for tonight. And the bot goes, I don't understand what you said. I need a table at your restaurant for tonight. I don't understand what you said. I need to reserve a table for 4 at 7 p.m. I don't understand what you said. See, I'm saying it multiple times and you're already annoyed. Imagine if it was a bot doing this to you. Because the bottom line is, you cannot expect humans to learn a very cryptic way of structuring their sentences. Humans just want to say what they want to say, and they expect the bot to actually understand what it needs. And that's what I'm going to teach you to do as well. So that's why intelligence is really important in this. Otherwise, you're distilling like life to be like a 1980s text adventure where you can only use like a very strict combination of this verb with this noun to say, or kill the troll with the sword and open treasure. And if you've ever played Zork or Adventure, you're familiar with those games. So, is this clicking? All right. So a bot is basically doesn't look like this at all. Okay, this is just a metaphorical representation. But a bot is basically what you're chatting with. So just like on the right there, you can have text, and then suddenly the bot can actually present you with information that is going to be richer than just text. You know, you can have images. You can even have buttons. Let's say that you're talking to a restaurant bot and you ask for a table at 7 p.m. and then the bot comes back and says, I have reservations available at 6:45, 7, 7:15, and 7:30. And then instead of asking you to type all of this, it presents you with 4 buttons where you just push the button that you want. Or if you're looking for a good sushi place, the restaurant bot can just present you with a nice carousel of different cards with different places where you can eat sushi. And again, instead of having a long stream of text that tells you about each restaurant, you can have a nice card, very like Yelp style, that tells you about this. So just because we're using human language to interact with a bot doesn't mean that we should also dumb the whole experience down to just be about text. A good bot will support typing with it, will support talking to it, and will also support tapping on simple UI elements to assist the user through their operations. Now, what is a bot, though, in the end? You, as a developer, you're probably thinking, okay, I'm in Visual Studio. I need to create a new bot. I go file new project. Which one do I pick? All right? So there is a bot template that you can get started with, but if you were not to use that bot template, what you would be creating is a web service. So new ASP.NET web API, and then there you go, or new Node.js project. You're building an API. A bot is nothing more than a web service living in the cloud with a REST endpoint, but it goes beyond that because you've got a whole SDK that helps you to actually create more than just a web service, to actually manage conversations, understand what the user, who the user is, and maybe some preferences that you have access to from this user. And then, of course, if the user comes in with this like natural like language string, how do you parse that to understand the English language or other languages as well? So just curious, anybody here have a PhD or other post-grad degree in natural language processing or language heuristics? No? Too bad. Well, it's okay. You don't need to. We actually have a lot of those people at Microsoft, and they've spent decades and decades building advanced components, and they've been wasting their life doing that. And then they package the whole thing into an API that you can use in 5 minutes. So who wins here, really? No, they're paid well, so they win too. But no, the bottom line is we have some of the best experts that have created these nice cognitive services that you can use inside of your applications. You don't need to have 7 PhDs to be able to use them. And you too will be able to parse the human language very easily with those. And I'll show you in a demo today. So the bot framework, apologies for the small text there, the bot framework is this tool for building these rich websites, these web apps, and it's going to have all the mechanisms to receive the events from the user, and then you can debug your bots as well. It's going to make it very easy then to create what is known as a service agnostic bot, because, for example, Facebook has a bot SDK, so you can go off to the Facebook developer page, and you can learn how to build a Facebook bot, and then you deploy it, and then congratulations, you now have a Facebook bot. But then somebody tells you, like, hey, we should maybe integrate this bot with Slack, and maybe we should put it in Skype, and maybe we should put it so we can email to it, or we can text to it, or something like that. So what do you have to do? Do you then go and rewrite the bot multiple times? We're already doing this mess in the mobile world, but Xamarin and iOS, but iOS and Android and Windows, and there's things like Xamarin that help us. But what if you could just create an agnostic bot? You create it once, but then after that, you open it up to all these different channels. And there's a whole set of channels that are available so that once you create a bot with a bot framework using either C# or Node.js, you can then connect that bot directly on a web page. We have a nice web control that we can give you that you can just like embed on your web page, and now you can talk to your bot from the web page. You can SMS with it via Twilio. You can use Facebook Messenger, Slack, Microsoft Teams, email, Skype, GroupMe, Kick, Messenger, and a bunch of others that don't fit on this slide right here. And we keep adding more and more of those channels over time. And the best part is that let's say you have your own custom application that you've created and you would like to interact with your bot, we even have a direct line API so that you can create your own channel. And you can integrate it with the bot framework. So there's new channels available. I'll show you Cortana, for example, because Cortana is now a new channel. So who here actually has any kind of Amazon Echo device with Alexa? So a bunch of you? Okay, so you know how to create applications for this. It's called building an Alexa skill. Cortana is also an assistant that lives in the cloud. Today, Cortana is mainly available on devices themselves, like on Windows 10. Cortana is also on iOS and Android, if you didn't know. You can go download her right now. And if you want to build an application that interacts with Cortana the same way that an application can interact with Alexa, then you create a Cortana skill. And the brain behind a Cortana skill is a bot. It's just a channel that you enable, and I'll show you in this demo here. You can also create business bots. A business bot would be where if you have like a web presence on Bing, for example, and then somebody does a search and finds your restaurant, and then, or finds your business, you could have a bot pop directly right there on the Bing page so that they can start asking questions about your business directly on the web. You can do line of business bots as well. that will integrate with things like Skype for Business. And also, for example, the number one request we get from customers is they want an IT help desk bot so that they can address 90% of their requests, which is, I forgot my password. Please reset my password. Because that's what all IT help desks do like all day long. Imagine having a bot that can just do this. You ping the help desk, you say, I forgot my password, and then boom, it helps you. You don't have to talk to a human. And then they can focus on the tough problems and really help people deeper. So anyway, enough slides. Let's build a bot. So to get started with this, let me just go to my browser when it shows up right here. Come on. Okay, so to get started, and all the links, by the way, are all in my slide deck. My slide deck is already posted on the conference repository. You can download it right now. I made maybe, I think, two or three slides were changed, so I will make sure that there's an updated version that is posted as well, but all the key links are already there. So you'll get started at dev.botframework.com, and then in here, this is where it will kind of walk you through, and you'll end up in the documentation. And this is where I introduce the bot framework to you, get started with bots. For example, if I want to go and develop bots, I can say I want to build with C# or build with Node.js. Because the bot framework is completely open source, and there's a bot connector, which is a service that we run, and that's the one that's going to connect your bot with all of those channels that I talked about. So if I want to learn how to build with C# right here, then we end up on the docs.microsoft.com. By the way, have you guys noticed our new docs? Docs.microsoft.com? It's like way more advanced than MSDN. They're open source docs technically now. So that means you can actually, if you see errors or if you want to add clarifications for something and you have the expertise, you can actually submit updates. It goes through like a curation process and everything. And so these are our open source docs now. So you should definitely take a look at them. They're awesome now. And then it tells you where to get the SDK. So if you go, for example, on GitHub, you can actually go get the SDK right here, Microsoft Bot Builder SDK. And the thing is, you don't have to go fork the project on GitHub. From an ASP.NET Web API project, you could directly go and simply download, like create a new project and then attach NuGet packages for the bot framework. If you want to create a brand new project, what you can do, there's a link somewhere in here, if I can find it. Bot Builder SDK for .NET. So basically, in the quick starts, create a bot with .NET. Then it's going to tell you get Visual Studio 2017, and then update all extensions. And then you can download the bot application, bot controller, bot dialog. And then it's basically these are, there's a zip file you can go and copy, and then you it tells you where to paste it. It's basically, instead of being an extension in Visual Studio, I don't understand why they haven't done that, it's basically a zip file that you go paste in your user profile, document, Visual Studio, template, project templates, Visual C#. And now it means that once you're in VS, you can say file, new, project, once you've put in that zip file, because at first if you just try it, it won't be there. And then you go under C# directly, and under C# you scroll down, and you will find, oh, did I not, oh, you know what, I didn't do it on this machine, that's true, wait, no, I did. I don't understand. Okay, let's do this again. New project, and Visual C#. No, it's my other machine that I didn't do this. Is bot project not visible here anymore, or they put it elsewhere? Okay, is it under web? All right, you know what? Let's then do it. Let's go to the web page right here. And then we have the bot application, the bot dialog. So I'm just going to pick the bot application right here. I'm going to go save it under user profile document Visual Studio. So user profile document Visual Studio 2017 templates, project templates, Visual C#. And yeah, it's not there. Interesting. I guess I did repave my machine at some point. Did I put it at the right spot? Template, project template, Visual C#. Okay, so it's just making sure that the zip file copies properly. There's also the bot controller you can go get, but the bot application has all the pieces you need to build it. Now, internet is a little slow right now, you might have noticed, because you're all, I don't know, installing VS or downloading your offline Netflix for the flight home. So it's, no, don't start now. If you haven't done that, don't do that now. Do it after. Okay, next talk. I'm done after that. So hopefully it will wrap up here. Come on, it's just a security scan. It should not take too long. It's 24 kilobytes, seriously. What is taking so long to do this? I mean, I already have a bot project pre-created, but I wanted to show you like the new project, what it would look like for this. And it's unfortunately taking way too long here. Okay, let's try it again. Oh, I click cancel and nothing happens. Oh, there we go, it finished downloading now. I guess you have to cancel it to see it there. All right, and you don't have to unzip it, by the way, just leave it there. Okay, just leave it there, don't unzip it. And then you can go to File. I don't know if I have to reboot VS. We'll find out soon enough. File, New Project, Visual C Sharp. And then, there you go, bot application right here. A project template to build a bot application for Microsoft Bot Framework. So what I'm gonna do is on my dev demo folder right here, I'm gonna call it the, VS Live. And I'll call it Echo Bot. You'll understand quickly why I'm calling it that. Because by default, so this is going to create an ASP.NET Web API project for me. It's automatically going to bind the proper NuGet packages for the bot framework SDK. So if I go to references, see bot builder, bot connector is all here. So I can do a build, rebuild solution. And once it's done rebuilding, hopefully the internet cooperates. Because it did take a while to download 24 kilobytes, so that's going to be fun. Let me just finish rebuilding, but can I scroll still? No, it's not letting me scroll anymore. No, but I need the NuGets, so there we go. I think it's going to do it now. There we go. We're downloaded. It's going to update all the packages. We're good. Now, the main entry point for a bot is going to be the messages controller, because this is where everything comes in. Can you guys see the code okay? Is it big enough? Yes? Sorry?
Can you increase it a little bit?
A little bit. Let's go to 125%. Is this better? Okay, cool. And I deliberately switched to the light theme, which means that I became like 50% less cool, because we all know that we're cooler when you use the dark theme. But on screen right here, it looks better. All right, bless you. All right, so what I have here is the main entry point of my API. So if you've done ASP.NET Web API, you know that you need to have an API controller. And there's a messages controller here. And everything starts from a post. And we basically receive an activity from this. An activity is, in the first version of the bot framework, we used to call it a message. But then not everything is a message, so we simply call it activity now. And there's an activity type in there, which can be a message. So if the user sends a sentence, an utterance, a request to a bot, that is an activity, an incoming activity coming in. And then the first thing that we do here is we check if this is an activity type of type message. We then, on the conversation object, this is coming from the bot builder dialogue conversation. This comes from the bot builder SDK. And then we immediately do a send async, and we instantiate a new root dialogue. And because the notion of a bot is that we're going to have these multiple types of dialogues. You don't have to use dialogues, but at some point you're going to have to do some kind of dialogue management. Because you need to make sure that whenever the user sends one request in, you can send a response. And if they reply, this is all part of the same conversation. In this case, when we instantiate the root dialogue, what does it do? So if I right-click on this and say go to definition, the root dialog object, so it has a start async, and then it waits for a message. But because it just got instantiated and it was passed a message, then it will immediately continue on a context. And then whenever a message is received asynchronously, all it does is it extracts the activity, it checks the length of the message, so activity.text to see how long the message that came in was, and then it simply replies on the context, it posts back, it says, you sent this message, so it basically repeats the message to you. That's why I call it an echo bot, because it's like an echo. And it also tells you how long this was. And then it goes back and waits for the next message. Okay, so all this little hookup has been done for you. So before I show you a more advanced bot, though, you might be thinking, well, this is cool, okay. So now I have a bot that if I send a message, it's going to reply with the same message, and it's going to tell me how long it is. Now, you would take the message, parse it, contact some database or service, formulate a response, and send it back. Here, we're just calculating how long the message was. And I'll show you a better bot afterwards. So let's test it. But then how do you test this, basically? The thing is, as you know, with an API, to test an API, you need to have some kind of a client application that talks to it, right? Fortunately, we have this thing called the Bot Framework Channel Emulator. It's a nice client-side application. It's an Electron app, as far as I know. And this Electron app basically allows you to connect to any bot and then just chat with it the way, and it gives you a nice chat interface, and it supports cards, images, and hyperlinks, and everything. So now if I go to my project here, I just click I click run. I'm going to run it on Edge. You could run it in Chrome if you want or whatever. So I'm just going to run it. And then it runs it locally with the local web server, like IIS Express, and it's running it on localhost port 3979. So it's going to finish instantiating in a second. There you go. So that's the main front page. So if you go to the root of your bot, you have an HTML page. This is where on the web you would probably have more like documentation about your bot, how to use it, the kind of utterances it supports. You could even put the web control to chat with it in there. And I have another bot I'll show you that does that. So I'm just going to copy the URL here. And if I go to the Bot Framework Channel Emulator, there's a link in the documentation on where to download the channel emulator. Then I'm going to say I want to go to 39 on localhost, 3979 that I want here. And by default, the Microsoft app ID and password should be empty. The reason being that whenever you publish a bot in the cloud, that bot, you might want to protect it, right? You don't want anybody to just talk to that bot. You want all the messages to be routed via the bot connector. Because otherwise, if people call your bot directly like a service, then you're bypassing all of the dialogue management with things like user state that's preserved, conversation updates, all the services that come from the bot connector. But when you start building a brand new bot, there's no app ID or password. If you want to know where that is, it's in ASP.NET, so you just go to your web.config, and it's in there. So if I go to the bot right here to localhost 3979, you have to make sure that you always put like the path to your API. In this case, by default, it's always /API/messages. Because remember, the root of 3979 is just a web page. It's not an API. So now I can actually start chatting with my bot if I want. So let me maximize this. Where's the... Okay, it's like I lost my bar there. Let's refresh. Is it going to give me grief? It's not connected. Oh, I have to click connect. That's why. I forgot to click connect. So I click connect, and then it gives me an update here. Conversation update, post 200. We're ready to go. So I can say hello, enter, and then it replies back right here, and it says, you sent hello, which was 5 characters. Oh, cool. And then you sent ho cool. And then are you saying what I'm saying? And then it's like, what are you for? It's like basically this is the kind of conversations I have with my kids. So it basically just repeats everything. The cool thing is you can go and inspect the messages that come in and out. So for example, when I sent hello, you can actually see the JSON message that was sent to the server to the API, and it shows you the type of message. The text was hello from, in this case, it's just called default user. But if the message came from a user that's in Skype, then you would have the Skype ID of the user would be in there. So the authentication is managed by the channel itself. The locale, the format, the timestamp, and you have the client activity ID, and then there's an ID for the message itself. So the client activity ID right here starts at 150 like this, and then if I go to the response, then it says this is the response message, the service URL was this, and then the channel ID was emulator. So you would know what channel the user is talking from. So you would know, are they a Skype user? Or are they a Facebook Messenger user? And so on. And then you can see the conversation, the recipient, and then it says to also the reply to ID, so that this is how it does the conversation management, because they're tracking all of the IDs in the conversation like this. So this is how you build like a very simple get it started bot. And you can create like more advanced types of bots, for example, with things like a form fill bot. We had an example that was it's on our GitHub, like the pizza bot or the sandwich bot, where you say all the ingredients that you need. And for example, the pizza bot needed to know the topping you wanted on your pizza, the location, and the size of the pie. So if you start a conversation and say, I want to order a pizza, it would say, what size do you want? And then you say, large. And then what topping do you want? Pepperoni. And then where do you want it delivered? At this address. But then if you say, I want to order a large pizza, then it picks up, oh, you already gave me the size, so I don't need to ask you now. It'll just go to the topping directly. Or, I want to order a large pepperoni pizza. Where do you want it delivered? Because it already has the other two pieces of information. Or, please send a pizza to this address. What size do you want? What topping? Okay, done. So that's the form fill bot. And there we have docs on this one. I'm not going to dive into this one. I'm going to show you another bot. Oh, I don't know why I closed this. I'm going to show you another bot that I have created. It's on my GitHub. It's called the Maker Show bot. Just to give you a little bit of background, the Maker Show is this show on Channel 9, since we have our friends at Channel 9 here. Yay, Channel 9. The Maker Show bot is basically a show on Channel 9 about all sorts of cool maker topics, you know, like how to play with Arduinos and Raspberry Pis. And we have a whole bunch of videos. It's been a while since he posted a video because we've been busy, but there's a lot of cool stuff in there. So I figured let's do a bot where you can ask maker questions, and it's going to kind of give you some answers on where to buy stuff or maybe recommend an episode of the Maker Show to watch. So to show you how that bot works, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my Maker Show bot here. It's also created in ASP.NET Web API. Okay, I'm good with that. And let me just show you the bot in action, because the thing is, once you go create a bot, you then go to My Bots on the Bot Framework, you sign in with your Microsoft account, and then you can go create a bot. And when you create a bot, this is where you're registering your bot with the bot connector, so that you can start enabling channels. So for example, the Maker Show bot is one bot that I've created like this. Why do I have issues? I don't know. I thought I fixed those recently. And if I look at my settings, it says this is the name of the bot, the Maker Show bot. Its bot handle is the Maker Show bot. It has to be a unique handle. So this way, in conversations, they'll be able to reference the bot with its handle. There's a description here. The configuration shows where is it hosted. So this is currently hosted right here. It's a bot version 3 API. It's 3.5 actually, at themakershowbot.azurewebsites.net/api/messages. Don't just put the URL, put the API endpoint of your bot there. The app ID and password, this is where you click on this, it's going to generate them for you. You copy those values, you paste them in your web.config, and this way that protects your bot. So this way, the bot connector can talk to your bot, but nobody else can unless they know the app ID and the app secret. Now, so if I go and look at the channels, that bot already has things like, for example, the web chat channel has already been enabled up and running. So if I go to that URL that I had, which was the makershowbot.azurewebsites.net, then I'm greeted with this this page right here. And where's my channel? Oh, I didn't post it there. I don't think I updated it on there. I could have sworn I had done that. Because if I go to the, if I run the project in Edge right here, now actually I'm going to need those secrets. So this one is on 3978. Let's see if it remembers them by heart. So, and I'm going to relaunch the bot. Come on, bot. Something is churning on the network. Bot framework emulator. Okay. There you go. See, this one has the chatbot. I didn't update the version on the web. This is a local version that I still have on the GitHub here. So now if I go to 3978, 8 local host. It remembers my values that I had for app ID and passwords. I'm just going to say connect directly to that. So now my bot framework emulator is connected to my local MakerShow bot that I have here, although I could connect it directly to the cloud version as well. So if you want to test it, you can use the emulator. So I can say, for example, like, hello. And then it replies, hi, I'm the MakerShow bot, and I'm here to help you become a maker. And I'm not scripted in the sense that I'm going to carefully craft like my sentences. So for example, yo, cool bot, so what can I do with you? Let's see. Simply ask me questions about different technologies you want to learn or buy. Because my bot supports multiple what we call intents. There's an intent, which is the greeting intent. The moment the user says any form of hello, then I have to detect this was a greeting. And the last thing that somebody wants is when they say hello, and the bot says, I don't know what you want. It's like, I just said hello. It's like pretty early fail, you know? So I like to put a greeting intent. And then I like to put a help intent. Now, my help intent is very basic. It's just putting in text. But I could actually put in maybe some buttons so they can push buttons and say, I want to do this, I want to do that. So it wants to ask me a question about different technologies I want to learn or buy. Okay, I've heard about the Arduino. So let's say, what can I build with an Arduino? And then it says, get started at arduino.cc. You should also watch the Maker Show episode 1, Blinking an LED, Now What, with Brian Sherwin. It's telling me like this guy, Brian Sherwin, that recorded this episode. And of course, now I don't have a link to the episode. This is still a bot in progress. So give me 1 second. But I wonder, like, who's Brian Sherwin? So who's this Brian Sherwin exactly? Brian Sherwin, and then instead of giving me text, it actually shows me a nice card with a picture of the guy. Brian Sherwin is a Microsoft technical evangelist. He's based in Columbus, Ohio, and there's even a button here where I can click, and then it's going to go and open his Twitter profile right there. All right? So, and I could have asked these questions in a different way. Like, for example, just who is Brian Sherwin? And it would still give me the same answer here, you know? So I don't have to have like an exact way of typing it in one way or another, you know? It understands the English language. So how does that work? So to do this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop my project here. And just to show you a little bit behind the scenes how this bot works, all the source code for this bot is in my GitHub. So it all starts with the messages controller, right? Same thing here that you saw before. So we have a post that is done with an activity, and then we are using the connector client. The connector client is because we're going to have to reply to the bot connector. Remember, the bot connector is the entry point for our bot. This is where Skype is connected and Facebook is connected. They're all talking to the bot connector. So if I'm going to do a reply, I have to reply via the connector. So now I need to go get a new connector client with the service URL that was included in the incoming activity, and it's going to tell me where to reply. I check to make sure that this is a message that came in, a regular chat with a user. If it's not a message, maybe it's a system message. System messages can be things like a ping, a delete user data, a contact relation update. So for example, if the bot is a Skype bot, and then the user added the bot to their favorites list, that's a contact update. You could actually have the bot acknowledge that and say like, hey, thanks for adding me to your favorites, you know, and if you want more updates or blah, 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 we'll be BFFs, and you know, you can make like really friendly bots. Now, remember that building a bot is not about passing the Turing test, okay? You're not there to necessarily create this super human intelligence that's going to fool the best humans. This is not the goal. A good bot should tackle a few problems and do them well. And then other bots can do the other problems, and you'll have the assistance to tie them together, okay? It could be a conversation update, typing. So here in this case, what we're doing is we're immediately instantiating a Lewis dialogue. So we're taking the activity and we're instantiating a Lewis dialogue. The Lewis dialogue, basically what it does is this is going to help us parse the English language, and it supports also French and German and a bunch of others. It's going to parse the language to detect two things. What is the intent of the user? And once we know the intent, what are the entities that are related to it? So for example, my bot supports a whole list of intents, and I'm going to go dive in and show you. And the idea here is that by creating a Lewis dialogue, this is a class that comes automatically from the bot framework SDK. And you simply have to decorate this class with your Lewis model and your secret key from your Lewis model. How do you create this Lewis model? Because in the end, by simply creating this, it will automatically launch the right task. If it's the none intent, every Lewis model should have none intent, where it's like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're asking me. And then the learn topic intent, or the I want to buy some hardware, I want to ask who is this person, I want to say hello, a greeting. So these are all my intents. And then I have this code that runs for each of those. But how do you build this Lewis model, and is it hard? It's not hard. You go for that. Let me close this here. For that, you're going to go to Lewis.ai. Lewis is actually part of the Microsoft Cognitive Services. Who's actually used Microsoft Cognitive Services before? One person. Who's heard of Microsoft Cognitive Services? Okay, a bunch of you. Cool. This, seriously, you got to learn Cognitive Services, because these are the APIs that will make you look like heroes at work. Because you will start calling these APIs in your projects, and you'll be able to do these super advanced, intelligent things, and people are going to go, how the hell did you do that? That is so amazing. And Lewis is one of those 20-some services that are available. It's the Language Understanding Intelligence Service. So when I go to Lewis.ai, I have a bunch of applications I've created. Creating an app is nothing more than say new app, give it a name, and then you go configure it directly on screen. So I have WeatherBot right here. I'm going to load my WeatherBot. Sorry, not my WeatherBot. I wanted my MakerShowBot. So the MakerShowBot right here. And then on the MakerShowBot, I have a bunch of intents that have been configured. Now, I'm going to do something very risky here, and I'm going to program live a new intent in my model. Because right now, my model supports parsing the user's request and trying to differentiate, does the user want to buy some hardware? Are they comparing two pieces of hardware? Are they complaining at my bot? I like to put that in. Because this way, if the user doesn't like the responses and starts complaining at the bot, I like to pick up on the complaint to maybe address it. And if it doesn't understand a thing, but it understands the complaint, it understood something. So that's one way. So if you say like, oh, you're useless, that's not what I asked, then I try to pick up on that. If it asks for help, it wants to learn a topic, it wants to learn Arduino, all these things. None intent, which is like, you know what? What they're asking has nothing to do with this bot, so we just funnel it to none. And then it's asking the specs for something, it's thanking us for a job well done, and it's asking us, like, who is someone in particular. So let's say, for example, that they've learned how to build some cool stuff with Arduinos and Raspberry Pis, and now they say, I want to create like an IoT gadget. I want to do like Internet of Things. So I want to tell them like how to connect Raspberry Pis and Arduinos to Azure, to Azure IoT Hub and things like that. So I'm going to call it the Azure IoT intent. It's basically going to be all these things that I'm going to pick up to send them over to Azure. And for now, I'm in my code, I'm just going to return one canned response, okay, to keep it simple. But so what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a new intent, and that intent name is going to be Azure IoT. This is just the name you give it. I've created my intent, and now I have to train it. To train it, all I have to do is simply start typing sentences that people might ask. And it doesn't mean that it's only going to pick up on those, because it's actually going to train a machine learning model using a bag of words pattern to actually pick up and tell you what this is. So for example, at first it won't know what it is, so we have to train it. So how do I connect an Arduino to Azure? Okay? So I'm going to put that in. Enter. Now, here's the thing. I already have entities in there, two entities. One entity is a person. Like when it's asking about Brian Sherwin or the other people on the show, that's a person. Another entity is hardware type. In this case, it already detected that Arduino, it knows about Arduino because it's been trained for other intents. So how to connect an Arduino, indeed, that's the hardware type. And then, but Azure is not a hardware type. We're going to say remove this label. We're just going to keep it to Azure right there. I could have created another entity for it, but for now, I'd rather keep it at that. So, okay, that's good. Let's add another one. Can I plug in Azure IoT with a Raspberry Pi? Enter. Can I connect in, can I plug in Azure IoT with a, it detected that Raspberry Pi is a hardware type. I've already trained it for that. Okay, and of course, the first few times it won't know, you will just type on it. Let's say it didn't pick it up. Let's say that the first time you do this, it just shows Raspberry Pi like this. So what you can simply do is tap on Raspberry Pi, and you say, this is the entity hardware type. That's it. There's a tab here basically called entities. You just go create them. You just say entity is this name. You just give it a name. That's it. There's nothing else to it. Then, what else could I add? How do I add cloud connectivity to a particle photon? Like this. So particle photon already knows it's a hardware type here. How do I add cloud connectivity? Let me add a few more here. How do I send data to the cloud with, let's see here, another board. I could use Arduino again, but like the Udo board, for example, with Udo. There you go. How do I send data to the cloud? How can I gather telemetry from Arduino Uno? Enter. From hardware type. All right, I have five utterances so far. Believe it or not, it's probably enough. All right, so now what we're going to do is we're going to click Save. Okay, and then I'm going to go to Train, and I'm going to go train the application. So now what it's doing is it's taking all the utterances I already had, plus the new ones as well, and it's now creating a new machine learning model based on this. No PhD required. Seriously, the steps I'm doing in front of you, that's it. So now if I go back to my intents, for example, I've got the Azure IoT intent here. So let me ask another question that is not exactly like this here. What's the process to connect an Arduino to Azure? Enter. So it actually detected what's the process to connect an hardware type to Azure, and it says there's a 52% chance that the intent that they want is the Azure IoT intent. It's close. It's close. It's just 52%, but it had enough confidence. If it's too low, let's say that it's not good enough, then you could retrain it. You can redirect it. Let's say it thinks that this is buying hardware. You could say, no, this is not buying hardware. This is Azure IoT intent. So you can just keep doing more like this. And here's the cool thing, is that when you go to your intents here, so for example, if I look at the learn topic, and this is a little risky here because my bot is live, which means people have been sending requests to it. So I don't know what's going to show up on screen. You can click on suggested utterances. And then you can actually see what people have been asking to the bot. So this way, once you publish your bot to like beta or pilot or something or early production, you can see what people are asking. And then you can go see if it picked it up properly. Like, for example, it asks, what is your name? It thought this was help. You know what? I'll leave it at that. You know that I'll leave it there. Try again, baby. You know what? I'm going to flag this as a complaint because it didn't get it. What can I do with a hardware? That's definitely a learned topic. Radio, none. Time is it? None. Can eat no fish eating order? Definitely none. Hello, that's a greeting. Do such little time? None. Are you today as a command, that phrase? You know what? That's not exactly help. We're going to redirect that to say this is a none as well. We're redirecting it there. And then what I can do is, hi, how are you? This is a greeting. I can say all of these. The intent is good. So now what I'm going to do is check them, save them. And next time I train, it's going to use those to perfect the model. So as people are actually, yeah, and there's a whole bunch more that will show up because there's a whole bunch of things that show up in there. So, all right. So this is how you can create a model, and the more you train it, the better it becomes. But you noticed we didn't have to do advanced statistics to put it in. It just worked out great. Once you've done your training, so let's go to train and test. Train the application. There you go. So it's going to finish training it. Then you have to publish your model. And your model gets automatically published in Azure, and it gives you a REST endpoint to call it. So you could simply talk directly with the REST API, or in this case, since my bot uses the Lewis dialogue, then it will automatically pick up on it. So if I go to publish the app, then I'm still using my Bootstrap key, which is just 1,000 hits per month on this one. And I'm going to say, OK. I could train it here if I wanted. I'm just going to put publish. So it's publishing the app. So now that means that my bot here that is basically using this Lewis model. So my bot here that is using this Lewis model now will be able to pick up on that new intent. So I need to do something about it. So let's go down to one of those generic messages that I had, like the greeting, for example. And I'm going to say, I'm going to copy this. I'm going to paste it down here. And this, the Lewis greet intent is IoT, Azure IoT, I think, right? That's what I called it, Azure IoT. And the task is going to be Azure IoT. I give it the same name. And the phrase that we're going to send back is just going to be a canned phrase for now. I mean, eventually what I could do is I could go pick up the entity if they want to connect to an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi and then send them to different pages. For now, I'm just going to send them to basically the same page every time. So for example, if I go to Azure IoT Hub, what's the address for that? So Azure IoT Hub is this one right here. So let's copy the link. And I'll simply say, you should check out the Azure IoT Hub service at, and I'll just paste the URL right here. So that's going to be a canned response, but you can easily see how at this point you're developers, you know how to build services, you could ping your own database, do queries, create an answer. You know what they want. You know what they want to do, and you know the parameters of what they want to do something with. And then I simply say, context, make a message. I have a text and a speak because sometimes you might have an answer back where the user is going to use a speech-enabled channel. And that speech-enabled channel, maybe I don't want to say the exact same thing that I've displayed on screen. Like, for example, when I showed that card of Brian Sherwin on screen, I had a text string for the response, for the speak, but I had an actual card that was created for the response here. And to show you what that card looks like, this nice card set comes from, see right here, so when I have the who is intent, I find out who is the person they want to get. I have my little data service that I get from this. And then I simply create a new hero card. The hero card is a class that's part of the Bot Framework SDK. And then I simply say, what is the title, the subtitle, the text, where do I get the image from? And then what button do I want to put with the name Twitter profile with a URL on it? And then I simply, that card becomes an attachment. I put that attachment, I create an attachment out of it, and I add the attachment to my message, and I simply go and add a speak tag for the speech-enabled channels, and then I just go and reply directly. So now my bot has the ability to detect this new intent that I created. So let's try it. I have a few minutes left, so let's go give it a shot. So I'm going to go to run this on Edge. It's not deployed to Azure yet, so what I'm going to do is use the emulator. All right, so I'm on 3978. Let's go to the emulator again. 3978, connect. Refreshes the connection here. So now I can say hello, or hi, or you know, things like that, you know. And then it's gonna reply. There you go. I'm here to help you become a maker. Nice. What can I build with a particle photon? Like this. And then it says, get started at particle.io. You should watch the Maker Show episode 7, The Photon Awakens with Nick Landry. Who's this Nick Landry? There you go. Nick Landry is a technical evangelist in New York. And then finally, here's the new one. How can I connect a particle photon to Azure? No, it didn't pick it up. Okay, I would have to see exactly why it didn't like it, this one. So, interesting. Well, the particle photon to Azure, it should have picked up that this is the Azure IoT intent. So, for example, we can try again with another one. So, for example, how can I get telemetry data from, how can I send telemetry data from an Arduino? We might have to train it a little bit more. No, see, it thought it was there. So now what we can do, we can actually go check the model in the background, and we can actually go train it more. So if I look at the intents, and it actually thought the second one was a, I want to buy something, so I'm going to look at the buy hardware. And if I'm going to say suggested utterances right here. There's a whole bunch of them I'm going to have to sift through first. So this is where I could go and fix them and say, like, where am I? This is a who is and everything. And I can go fix it and then train it a little better. Let me try to pick one that I've actually trained for this. Maybe it didn't publish it properly. I have to check that. Azure IoT. So how can I gather telemetry from hardware type? I had trained it with Arduino, I think. So how can I gather telemetry from particle photon. Enter. You should check out the Azure IoT Hub service at IoT Hub right here. So obviously I needed to train it a little bit more. There's still a few things that was getting confused, but by going into my model, I can simply correct it, retrain it more. But you saw here, I was able to add a new intent live in front of you with just a few utterances, then go add a little bit of code to work with it, and then you can take it from there in your bot code. And here's the cool thing. There's a bunch of slides I was going to show, but I'll just skip that. Here's the kicker now. Because this bot right here, if I go to my channels, I've enabled the Cortana channel on it. And right now it's only enabled for me, okay? It's not published to everybody yet. It's only enabled for my account. But what that means is I can actually, it's called the Maker Show bot, and I can talk to Cortana and ask her about this. Ask the Maker Show bot, hello. Oh, is it gonna crap on me, really? Or do I have to republish it? Okay, let me try it again. Maybe that's not gonna work. We're out of time anyways, but ask the Maker Show bot, how can I build with an Arduino? No, I guess it's still in beta, so what I did is I probably need to refresh it. I can go manage it in a Cortana dashboard and maybe re-enable it for my account because I haven't tested it in a while. So, that's too bad. I wanted to show you the, all right, I don't have time for this. Sorry?
The class is 10:12:15.
Is it?
Yeah,
it is. Oh, cool. All right. I could have sworn I started at 45. Oh, he's 11. Perfect then. All right, you know what? Let's see if I can fix this then. Okay, so let's do live debugging again today. Great. So that's on this account right here. I could have sworn I was finishing at 12. Thank you for correcting this for me. And I probably should have tested my Cortana thing before. Hopefully this is not an internet thing again. So it's gonna load. So this is the Cortana dashboard. So you know, while this is loading, let me just go through a few slides and catch up to this point, and then we'll get back to it. Okay, let's build a bot. So I talked about language understanding here. This is the full list. Actually, it's not even full. There's more services that have been added since this slide was made of cognitive services. There's a whole set of services for vision, for example, if you want to do computer vision, identifying things in pictures. You can even train it for custom things. So if you're trying to use computer vision with things that we haven't trained, you can train it for your own purposes as well. There's an emotion API to detect people's emotions in their faces. There's a face API that tells you how many people are there, all the different points on their face, how old they look, and things like that. Speech has like custom recognition, speaker recognition. And speaker recognition is not just about what they say, is who is saying it. So you can train it for multiple voices. And then when somebody else speaks, they can actually tell you, like, it's this person or it's this person. And this is your own data set. Okay, so you train it with your own data, and then only you can after that use that data within your model. So just because you uploaded somebody's voice to basically train it, it doesn't mean that another company is now going to be able to recognize the voice of people in your company, because all of these are private data sets per account. Yes?
Is it possible to automate the retraining?
Is it possible to automate the retraining? Yes. All of these services, including Lewis, by the way, have APIs. So if you already have a huge databank of utterances and you don't want to type them manually in that little web page like I was doing it in front of you, you can actually use the API for Lewis to then create your intents, create your utterances, and send everything in. Okay? So, yes? Okay. How long do I have? Oh, you have a question?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I thought... Okay, go ahead. Okay, so the question is it possible to use voice recognition for identification? Yes, this is what the speaker recognition service does. So there's the custom recognition service and the speech recognition service that are there to determine what is being said, but there's the speaker recognition service that will be used to identify who is saying it. So, but for that, you need to have voice samples from all the people that are potentially in the system. And then once you've done that, after that later, they can say something, and it says, again, just like Lewis, there's a 78% chance that it's this person, and a 23% chance that it's this person, and a 0% chance that it's these other people. Or we don't recognize anyone here. It's very low. Or if it gives you results only in the 5%, you dismiss it, and you say it didn't get it good enough. So yes, that is part of the speaker recognition service. Wait, I don't have time to dive into all of these. The main one that I wanted to show you today was the language understanding service that I've demoed for you. So Lewis, basically, there's new features that are coming as well. There's these pre-built domains as well, so that some of the domains, for example, if you're creating a model that's around like sports or weather or stocks or contacts or calendar or restaurants, we have these pre-built domains that you can initialize in your Lewis model, where we have pre-trained it with a whole bunch of entities and utterances. And this way, you're starting not from scratch, you're starting from a huge bank that we've already created for you. And it's going to make it easier for you to create a Lewis model for those domains. Okay? And then there's adaptive cards as well. Adaptive cards, there's a whole session that was at Build, and you can go watch the session on that. It's basically the idea that you saw that little hero card that I had with the host of the show there, the person on the show. So you can actually create your own cards if you want. It's an SDK, it's an open source basically framework that we've created that basically lets you create any kind of card that you want. Because, for example, there's the airline card that's available, for example, on Facebook Messenger. But if you're an airline, all of the airlines' cards will look the same, whether they are United or Lufthansa or Delta and so on. You could create your own card with this. So let me just go test the... I'll come back to the adaptive card demo. Let me just finish the speech part. There's payment support that's coming as well. I don't have time to dive into this, but you'll be able to start taking payments directly in a chat channel so that you can sell something directly in there and people will be able to buy it directly. And the speech support, today there are three channels that support speech out of the box. There's the web chat control, the one that goes directly on a web page. There's Cortana, of course, the one I was trying to show you. And there's the direct line support. Direct line, it's this API that you can use to talk to the bot connector so that you can actually create your own channel if you want. And it works with SSML, the speech synthesis markup language, which is an open standard of the W3C. And there's more integration also with Lewis for speech as well. So, for example, to build to use speech and bots, you basically build a bot with a speech-enabled channel, and then Cortana is the new channel that's available for your bots. And it's nothing more than simply creating a reply activity and then putting a speak tag in there. Just like I was doing, I was setting the text and I was setting the speak. So this way, you could actually say something than what you show. You could show a lot of information, but only speak a little. Because it's not fun for people when the thing starts talking and it doesn't stop. And the way that Cortana skills work is you create your bot and you deploy your bot. And then the user will then talk to Cortana. The end user talks to Cortana, and then Cortana will invoke your bot on a request and then act as the proxy, and everything is going to be done in her canvas. And it's going to be the same thing for devices like the Harman Kardon Invoke, which is our new speaker device that is coming from Harman Kardon, shipping soon. And this is going to be a nice home device that you can talk to Cortana in your home. And there's also other manufacturers that have announced Cortana devices like HP and Intel and more. Yes? Right, so the question is it possible to use the identification of the user that comes in a bot and then after that do queries against things like the Microsoft Graph API to basically get more information about them? Yeah, totally. That's exactly what it's for. Remember, the bot interface is one thing. It's just conversation management. But ultimately, a bot is a web service. That web service can do whatever you want. You can call any kind of APIs that you want. The Graph API is one such API. So as long as you actually have a way to get the proper identifier for the Graph API from the channel, so it would be things like maybe the Skype for Business API, for example, the channel, because then these are employees within your corporation. And for now, we only support Skype for Business online, not the on-premises version. The line of business bots, because it requires a public endpoint on the internet, it's a little trickier, but we can take this offline. So, but yes, all these things are definitely possible. So to create a skill from scratch for Cortana, basically you create your bot with the bot framework, you add the Cortana channel, and then you publish your skill. So let me just go back to see if my page showed up. Come on. Okay. I had a Cortana skill right here. I'm on a different user here, it seems. No, that's my user right here. The Maker Show bot, there it is. So it's deployed to self right now. So I don't know why it's not picking up on it. If I look here in my user settings, I just want to make sure I'm on the right user because I need to make sure that I'm connected to the right account on this here. So that's, maybe I wasn't signed in. Okay, so let me sign in with my Microsoft account. Maybe that was the problem. So let's sign in with my Microsoft account, and then that bot is available only on my Microsoft account. Later, I could deploy it to a group or publish to world if I want. I've never published it to world yet, so I guess I could try it, but let's see how long it's going to take. I love when Cortana says, oh, drat. So, come on, sign in. Again, Internet God's not with us today, because I think everybody's been updating Visual Studio 2017 all week, downloading gigs and gigs and gigs of information. So that's probably why it wasn't working, because my Cortana was not properly connected to my Microsoft account. Something got reset somewhere. So hopefully it will show up. So you know what? Let me see if I have a couple more slides to show you while this is ongoing. If you want to see a cool project as well. So I use the Direct Line API to actually create a holographic interface for a bot. So it's called Holobot. It's on my GitHub at github.com/activenick/holobot. And Holobot basically looks like this. It's going to be this hovering robot that when you wear a HoloLens, it basically, it launches in front of you. You can tap the bot. You can place it anywhere you want in the room. And then you can, when you look at the bot, it turns on speech recognition. You can talk to it. And then it will contact your bot in the background. Hopefully your bot uses Lewis, because the open language, of course, that you speak, the odds are that you'll definitely need a machine learning model for this. And then it sends the response back down via Direct Line API, and then with text-to-speech, it speaks it back to the user spatially, using spatial sound. So if the bot is now on the right, they're going to hear the audio coming from the right, and the bot is basically there in the room. So this is a full project, it's open source, and the cool thing is it can work with any bot. So if you go build a bot yourself with the Bot Framework SDK in C# or in Node, you just need to turn on the Direct Line channel. The moment you do this, it's just going to give you a secret key. You're going to fork my project. You're going to replace my key with yours. And then, boom, Holobot will now talk to your bot. I don't have support for cards and things like that yet. I look for the speak tag, and if there's no speak tag, I use the text reply instead to actually show it. And I just used this project with a major pharmaceutical company that has started deploying it to their labs so that scientists and labs can actually get access to documents and queries of procedures without touching anything, because once they're scrubbed in for the lab, they can't touch everything. And there's going to be a case study coming soon for this. So once that case study comes out with a video, I will be posting it on the main GitHub page for this one. So let me see if Cortana is finally signed in, and hopefully I can demo this properly for you. No, I don't want to listen to you. I just want to see if you're connected to me. Yeah, the internet is really struggling right now, so that might be a problem. Because normally she's supposed to show me a bunch of cards about my account, but I'm not seeing it right now. This is my notebook. See, it's not even pulling up the notebook. Yeah, the connectivity is just too painful right now. I don't know what's going on. So, yeah, I'm not going to be able to demo this part. So, but let me show you a few videos that you can go watch, and you'll be able to see Cortana in action from there. So there's also the bot service. It's a service that we have in Azure. It uses serverless Azure functions to easily create bots. And we have several templates that are available in there, some connected to Lewis, others. We have a Q&A maker, for example. Let's say you have a Q&A, you know, a bunch of response answers and everything. You can upload your Q&A, and it will automatically create a bot out of it. So it's pretty cool. And there's a whole roadmap of different things. This is the roadmap that was shared at Build this year. So I just put it here for the people that have already done Bot Framework. If you want to know more about this, the Bot Framework homepage is here. The SDK is on GitHub. But there's also a separate GitHub repo for a ton of samples on the Bot Framework. All of this is already in the deck you can download. There's the Bot Framework blog you should check for the new changes, the Cortana Developer Center, and if you use that link there, that will take you to a bunch of sessions from Build that you can watch about the Bot Framework and Cortana skills. Beyond that, there's a Channel Inspector and AdaptiveCards.io. This is where you can look at these cards and kind of test the format to see how do they look on Skype, how do they look on Teams, how do they look on Slack, and things like that. There's more source code here. There's a scuba bot also from a colleague of mine that's pretty cool. And my colleague Daniel Egan has written an entire bot framework workshop. So if you want to run your own workshop, maybe with your own people in the company, he's got both C# and Node.js versions of this workshop, and you could learn bots this way. So this page is a new slide that I've added in the deck. I will make sure the deck is uploaded so you can see everything. All right, but don't worry, you will get it. So that's it for me. Thank you very much for coming. Please, please, please fill out an evaluation form. That would be awesome. I would love to know if you want to see more bot talks and more cognitive services talk here at VS Live. Please put that in the eval. Put that in your end evaluation as well. And in the meantime, have a great day and have a great lunch. Thank you.